Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to praise and to worship you. Father, when we come here as we start preparing for Christmas season, may we remember that Jesus is the reason for this season. Father, watch over us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Actually, I believe we have, yes.
All right, good morning, everyone. It's time for the lighting of the third Advent candle. We'll be reading from Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10, and Psalm 146, verses 5 through 10. The wilderness and dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The prophet Isaiah tells us about the joy ascending to God's house. The prophet tells us to imagine being set free, being unburdened, being released to live, to fully live in the grace and wonder of life itself. Surrounded by those who love us like no one else. And then he tells us that the journey to get there is just as much a joy.
The psalmist says, "Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith, who executes justice, gives food, sets prisoners free, opens eyes, lifts up, watches over, upholds. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." We light these candles, the candle of joyous hope, of proclaimed peace, and of deep and everlasting joy, as a sign that we are those who walk with a skip in our step because we can see the destination and it is pure joy. We are ascending to God's promise.
To us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh to see him high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. A child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh to see him high and lifted up, and shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Holy, 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 high and lifted up, and shining in the light of the glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, glory, wing your flight o'er the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaims Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God, where man is now residing, yonder shines the infinite light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn King. God is with us, even now His love is here. Come and worship, worship Christ. God is with us, even now His love is here. His love is here. Humbly to the earth you came, born into this world to save. God with us, Emmanuel, now we adore your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing aloud.
for nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter, not the one. Your name, let the nations sing aloud, 'cause nothing has the power to save.
Okay, kids, come on up. And my couple of helpers. Where is everybody? I got my helpers. Okay, anybody else want to come up? Any adults want to come up? All right, we are going to be talking about this. What is it? Yay! Have you ever heard of the legend of the candy maker?
No.
No. Okay. Well, there was this candy maker, and he loved children, and he loved people. But the kids would come into his candy shop sometimes before school and after school and get treats. And some could afford lots of treats. Some couldn't afford any treats. But he'd still give them treats. And he loved them so much that he thought, I need to use what I've got to tell the children about Jesus. So he thought, what does he know how to do? What does candy maker know how to do? Make candy, that's right. And then he thought, what kind of candy could I make that could be a witness? Oh, sorry. Everybody hear me now? Thank you, Ann. Okay, so there was a candy maker, loved kids, and he wanted to make a type, wanted to use the abilities and the gifts that he had to share Jesus. So he decided to make a candy cane. Now, when he was deciding what kind of candy he should make to help witness about Jesus, he thought, let me think. What is Jesus like? So he took some white candy. Why would white be a good color to represent Jesus? You know why? Because he was perfect. That's right. He was sinless and perfect. And then he thought, what shape should I make it in? What's this? What letter is that? A J. That's right. And why would J be a good letter for Jesus? It starts with a J. Good job. Okay. Then he also thought, a little bit more about Jesus. And he thought, Jesus is my good shepherd. What does this look like now? A cane or a staff. Because the shepherd, or an umbrella, the bottom, that's true. Well, and Jesus is our umbrella. He protects us. That's good. Okay, so, our good shepherd is Jesus. And the shepherds, do you hear about the shepherds in the story, the Christmas story, the true Christmas story? Are there shepherds in the story? What did the shepherds do? The angels came to the shepherds out in the field, and they told them what? A Savior is born. They told them about Jesus being born. And so the shepherds, they went and they found Jesus, and they worshiped him. They were the first people to go see Jesus. Okay, so we've got that. And then he thought, let's see, what else can I put in this little stick of candy to tell about Jesus? Red. Because Jesus was born a baby, wasn't he? But did he stay a baby?
No.
No. He grew up to be a man. He was God and man. And he went to the cross for us, didn't he? To die for our sins. And on the way to the cross, he was beaten. And you see the little stripes in there? Those represent the sores that Jesus bore when he was whipped. And then, there's just not little stripes, there's a big stripe, isn't there? And that big stripe helps us to remember that Jesus bled on the cross and died for each one of us. Okay, so in the Bible it says in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed. And the stripes remind us of that and the cross, and Jesus on the cross that took away our sins. And who knows John 3:16? Let's say it together, shall we? Let's say it a little louder. Come here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. Right. Okay. Now, in one of the stories that I had read about the legend was a child had come and was helping the candy maker in a shop. And so when they got done making all the candy, what they did was they went out to the village people and out to the countryside, and they passed out candy canes to everybody and told them about Jesus' love and what he'd done for them. Okay, so I was wondering, well, first of all, you both get this. And this is so you can tell others about Jesus, too. It's got the story right on it, okay? So you can each have one of those. And also, Jasmine and Caddy are going to help you guys pass out candy canes to everybody, okay? So just take the basket to each row and hand it down the row for the people to get a candy cane. You can consolidate some of those baskets if you need to, girls, if you want to dump some of them together. No, you're going to take the baskets that are over there. And hopefully we have enough. And Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas. Let's give a round of applause. What a great reminder that is for candy canes. You know, the symbolization. And, yeah, remembering God's promises. I like it. Well, good morning. As the candy comes around, just wanted to say good morning, and I want to welcome all the guests that are here with us this morning, and also those who are joining us online or on the radio. We're glad that you could be here. But as we prepare to get into the message this morning, and as the candy makes its rounds, let's take a moment and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise, to worship you. Father, may we remember that you are the reason for this season, and you being willing to send your own son to die on the cross for each of us. Father, I ask that as we get into the message today, that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I love Christmas. I don't know about you guys, I love Christmas. It's my second favorite holiday. My first favorite is Easter, but Christmas is second. It's a time to remember what God is doing in the world around us. And there's more people who try to see what is the origins of Christmas, and you hear these different things. But Christmas is a time to remember God fulfilling his promises and how he answers our prayers and how he made a way for each of us. Last week, we spoke about how we can get carried away at Christmas time. How we can easily forget what's important and what the reason for the season really is and get caught up on the gifts and the Christmas gatherings this time of year. But I want to share something with you guys that happened this last Wednesday night that I thought was great. I asked the kids at Awana what they liked about Christmas or what they looked forward to about Christmas. And you know what was the best part of all? It took about 20 answers before someone said gifts. These are little kids, and it took about 20 answers before they said anything about gifts. But what they were looking forward to was spending time with you guys, spending time with their family, their grandparents, their cousins. They were looking forward to cooking meals and baking cookies and all of that. And I bring that up because they clearly understand what's important this time of year. And I want to encourage you guys to remember the value of that gift of time and that the kids do see it and they do desire it. I'm not saying they don't want a Christmas present. I don't want to say that for them, but what they showed was important was very clear. So, and they're really looking forward to it. One of the other things that I talked about last week and that I mentioned is how God's promises of the coming Messiah and how there's over 350-ish different prophecies about the coming Messiah and how the Old Testament and the people of Israel missed what God was doing in their midst, even after he had told them what he was going to do. We know that God makes promises often in our lives and we can become easy to miss because we get so caught up in our own lives, we stop looking around. We stop looking at what all God is doing. Yet when we're here at this Christmas season, it's a great time for us to think back on God's promises. It's a great time to reflect on how he has kept them years after years. It's a great time to remind us that we can trust our Heavenly Father to keep his promises and that he will fulfill all of them in his own perfect timing. Thinking back on Jesus and his coming, coming. Did you know in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 14, it tells us, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. And if you don't know what Emmanuel means, it's God with us. That's what he's saying. We can look over throughout the Gospels, and what do we see happening? We see Jesus being conceived by a virgin, coming into this world just as Isaiah had predicted hundreds and hundreds of years prior to Jesus' own coming into play. And this happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. Next, if we look over and we read through chapters in Matthew, the first chapter in Matthew, you find yourself wondering, how many of you times when you start off in one of the Gospels and they start going through that genealogy, and you start wondering, what is the point of all of this? What is the point that they bring out from Abraham all the way to Jesus and bringing it fully around? You know, Matthew 1:1, it flat out says, an account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then they just start listing, and they start going through the names. How many of you guys, when you're reading your Bibles, skip the genealogy part? Skip the name after name after, you know, such and such begot, such and such begot, such and such begot. I mean, it just goes and goes and goes. We miss why it's so important for us to know this. See, there was an actual another prophecy of the coming Messiah all the way back in Genesis 12 already, about that God promising Abraham and how through Abraham the whole earth would be blessed through him and how God would use that lineage. And then if we look over to 2 Samuel 7:16, we see where God is talking to David, your house and kingdom will endure before me forever and your throne will be established forever. What he was going on here was David was being told how the Messiah would come from his line. It was another proof of the coming Messiah, something that Jesus himself would need to fulfill. He would have to be in that lineage from Abraham to David and all the way through. So now when you go back and reread Matthew 1, you can understand why it was so important that this was recorded, why God had to bring and had to bring it through that way. You know, in Psalms 89, 3 through 4, it says, the Lord said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build up your throne for all generations. Again, this is one of those promises to David that it would be one of his offsprings that becomes the Messiah. And Matthew 1 points all of this out. It outlines how Jesus did and how he came from both. Plus more. And if we look over to Isaiah 53, we see one of the clearest depictions of the crucifixion that you will see throughout the Old Testament. You know, just listen to a couple of the verses throughout that passage. I encourage you, if you've not read it before, go home and read Isaiah 53. But here's a couple of the passages. Verse 5 says, but he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We are saved because of Christ taking that punishment on the cross. And in verse 6, it tells us, we all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquities of us all. Christ the Messiah took our punishment. And in verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. When Jesus stood in front of Pontius Pilate, he was given a chance to defend himself. Yet we know when Jesus stood there, he stood silent. In Matthew 7, verse 14, it says, but he didn't answer him on even one charge, so that the governor was quiet and amazed. And another in Psalms 22, 16 through 18, it says, for dogs have surrounded me, a gang of evildoers who closed in on me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People look and stare at me. They divided my garments among themselves and cast lots for my clothing. You know, when a person was crucified, what they would normally do is take that piece of clothing, rip it up, and share it among them each other. They would not keep the garment in one piece. Yet they didn't do that for Christ. It tells us in Matthew 27, verse 35, after crucifying him, they divided his clothes by casting lots. So they gave it away instead of tearing it up. These are all things that we were told would happen with the Messiah, plus so many more. There are passages that talk about how the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. And there was a saying back then, what good thing comes out of Bethlehem? Nobody was good out of Bethlehem. And it also tells us that he would then be raised as a Nazarene, from Nazareth. And guess what? Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he was raised in Nazareth. These are all things that you can find in the Old Testament, hundreds and even thousands of years prior to Christ's arrival. These are things that God promised us would happen with the coming Messiah. And if we read and we study God's word, we see God keeping all of these promises, pointing us to Christ himself, showing that he is the one true Messiah that was promised over and over again. These are things for us to reflect on the Christmas season and why we're celebrating and to reminding us of the reason for the season. That is Jesus coming down to earth, making a way for each of us. And that all of this stuff wasn't just some chance that happened. God knew it was going to happen way before it happened. God was making a way from Genesis already. God was making this way, outlining what would happen because he loved us that much that he wanted to restore us to him. You know, before Jesus' coming, there was another man that had to come. And we can trust the word of God that that had to happen. You know, so when we read other passages like Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with your righteous right hand." In John 16:33, it says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world." And then, of course, Jeremiah 29:11, which I'm sure many of you have heard, "For I know the plans I have for you, for this is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." We know we can trust God's word. We know we can trust these things because God has constantly fulfilled his promises to us. And he has shown us over and over again. And when we look at the Old Testament, we often forget that God said that he was going to send a forerunner, that he's going to send somebody just before Christ himself. You see, often during Christmas, we only think about Christ, and don't get me wrong, that's where our focus should be. But there's other things that help us reestablish and reassure us that we have the Messiah. There was another birth, another miracle of a conception that happened just before Jesus. And it was foretold in the Old Testament. And it was stated over and over, but in Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament saying this would happen. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See, I am going to send a messenger, and he will clear a way before me. Then the Lord will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant you delight in, see, he is coming, says the Lord of armies." This is where John the Baptist comes into play. Now, I want you guys to understand something. Between Malachi and the New Testament, did you know over 400 years had passed? Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And after him, there was nothing for 400 years. No new prophets, no new revelation, nothing. The leaders of the time took what God had established. By the time Jesus came around, by the time John the Baptist's time came around, took what God had established in the Old Testament and the worship of God, and they had twisted it and turned it into nothing more than a show or a spectacle, doing more to elevate themselves than to elevate God. So when we get to Luke chapter 1, we find something interesting. See, there was a priest by the name of Zechariah. And he had his wife, Elizabeth. And it tells us in verses 6 and 7, both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and the requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive. And both of them were well along in their years. They were too old to have kids at this point. And you know, back then it was considered a curse from God if you could not have children. It was looked down upon if you could not have children. And it brought shame to the family. Yet when we look back on verse 6, it said that God saw them as righteous. And because of this, God used them in a mighty way. We continue through the chapter and we see it was time for Zechariah's division of the priests to go on duty at the temple. And this time, as they were choosing by casting lots on who would enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense for him, he had yet to ever been chosen. See, being chosen to do that is one of the greatest honors a priest could have. You were able to enter the holiest place in the temple, one that majority of people never set foot in. But you would be chosen to go. You only got to do this once. Once you've been in there once, you can never go again your entire life. Most priests never got a chance. You would go behind the curtain to the most holy of place and burn an incense to the Lord. And he was chosen. And as he entered, there was a large group of people praying outside. And it tells us, now mind you, keep in mind, 400 years since God had spoken to them directly. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear, as I'm sure all of us would be. If we suddenly had an angel standing right in front of us, I think we'd all, some of us would probably tuck tail and run. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid," easier said than done, "Zechariah, because your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to their children and the disobedience to the understanding of righteousness to make ready the Lord's people." And just like many others, what did Zechariah do? He doubted the angel. He didn't believe him. He tells us in verse 18, "How can I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is along in years." Gentlemen, do not call your wives old, but that's what he just did. In verse 19, the angel answered, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will fulfill this proper time." So when he comes out, now think about it, no one had heard from a prophet or a new revelation from God in over 400 years, and suddenly an angel shows up and says, "Hey, by the way, you and your wife are going to have a kid. And not just any kid, it's going to be the forerunner of the coming Messiah. He's going to be the one crying out in the wilderness." And when Zechariah walked out and could not speak, all the people realized he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. And after he got home, his wife ended up pregnant. And she gave birth to a son, and they named him John, as the angel commanded. And we call this man John the Baptist. Now, I bring this up because it's important for us to remember how God fulfills his promises. How God constantly fulfills. And John the Baptist lived somewhat of a strange life. Someone said it this way: he was like an under-socialized relative who showed up unannounced and unexpected at holidays and other social functions and embarrassed everyone. Okay, think about it. John lived in the desert near Nazarene. According to Matthew 3, he ate locusts and wild honey. He survived on whatever he could find in the desert. And it also tells us that he wrapped himself in a garment made of camel's hair. He would have looked disheveled, not put together, ate weird things, but yet he lived a simple life. He didn't have a home. He didn't have many possessions, if any. And he didn't have any change of clothes except for what he had on, from what it tells us. But behind all of this, he had a purpose. There was a method to his madness. All this was for one purpose, and that was for him to prepare a way for the coming of Christ. Lack of a better way of putting it, he was to be the gopher boy, prepping for Jesus to come in. John seemed to address two different types of groups. One group were the genuine seekers who came to hear his message and believed him and repented and were baptized. John was baptizing before Jesus was baptizing. It tells us in Matthew 3, verses 5 and 6, the people from Jerusalem, all Judea, and the vicinities of the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. He was getting people ready for Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, we see many different groups of people who would come and ask him questions and generally seek advice on how to change their lives. And there were people who sincerely were looking for answers and wanted to repent and change their ways. And then there was another group of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who would come to him for baptism. And he addressed them sternly and he called them broods of vipers and told them to run away. But no matter what group the people were he addressed, his message was basically the same. In the center of it all, the message was, hey, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. He tells us in Matthew 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In John's account, he even calls Jesus the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 34, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. He did this just as the prophecy said he would in Malachi chapter 3. God keeps his promises. He told us to not only would he send his Son and everything he would do to restore us to him, but God also said, I'm going to send somebody ahead of him to make a way, to clear a path, to call the people to prepare for his coming. You know, I bring all of this up today, and you may be wondering, Tim, what's this got to do with Christmas? I bring it all up because I feel it's important for us to understand that all these things were not just written down after they happened. God knew that these events were going to happen. God foretold that these things would happen. And he's fulfilled them. God let the world know, hey, I'm going to send my Son. Hey, I'm going to send someone ahead of him to prepare a way. That when God gives us promises in life, we can trust him to keep those promises. And Christmas is such a representation of God's promises. And God keeping those promises. But did you know there's still a promise out there that has not occurred? One that Christmas should really make us sit back and think about. And that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. God promised that he would return one day. Christ said, I will return. He said in John 14, 1 through 3, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. Jesus is promising to return at this moment. Jesus is promising. In the Old Testament, it even talks about the second coming of the Messiah. That this is all going to happen. We know God has kept his promises so long and that he has fulfilled all these things. Christmas is a good time for us to remember that just as Christ came the first time, he is going to come back the second time. Now, are we going to be the ones who earnestly seek him and are prepared for him? Or are we going to be the ones who don't recognize when it's getting close? Jesus said, just like back then, that there would be signs of his coming for the second time. It tells us in Matthew 24, these Jesus told them, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these events are just the labor pains. Next, he says that we're going to be persecuted and hated because of Jesus. He warns us that there's going to be false prophets who will do many different signs and deceive the world and even try to deceive those of us who are saved. There will be lawlessness and complete disregard for the word of God. And all of these things are signs that we're getting closer. Now remember, no one knows the day nor the hour of Christ's return. But we are called to be prepared for that time. And when I think of Christmas, I think of God's promises and the promise of his next coming to remove us from this place here on earth. And I want you guys to remember, are we going to be the ones honestly seeking him? Or are we just trying to glorify ourselves and make ourselves feel better? Do we have an honest relationship? You know, just as John the Baptist was sent ahead of time to prepare a way, our job now as Christians, as filled with the Holy Spirit, is to make sure that we're preparing a way for the world around us to know Jesus, so that when he comes back that time, they know him as well, and that they're not lost. Because when that moment comes, there is no third chance. That's it. It's done. When that moment comes, we have friends and family who don't know Jesus, don't have that relationship. And whether you like the fact or not, the Bible is very clear where they will end up. It's not heaven. So this year, as you think through Christmas, think of it as a time to remember Christ. Think of it as a time to remember God's promises. And that not only are we celebrating his first coming, we're looking forward to his second coming. And that ultimate union with Christ again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the opportunity we have to join together this morning. Father, we thank you that you're a God who keeps his promises, even when it's in ways that we don't always understand at that moment. Father, may we remember this season for not just when you initially came in, but for what you came to do, to restore us all to you. Father, may we look forward to that. May we celebrate that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Glory stream from me.
Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love. Radiance from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord.
As you go out tonight and today, may you just remember God's promises, Jesus being the reason for the season, and enjoy your time with your family and friends. God bless. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.